Thank you, Chairperson, and apologies once again for coming late. Chairperson, honorable members. I'm just trying to get the presentation to project on board, but if you can follow his presentation with how it's pronounced, I'll get it done. Okay, so the brief that we received was presented as water of 2015-16 expenditure on Schedule 4, 5, and 6 condition account. I'll be looking at the Schedule 4 and 5 conditional grants today and looking at the expenditure as at the end of December 2015. One second. I'll be looking at the expenditure at the end of 2015 for Schedule 4 and 5 grants. My colleagues will look at particular infrastructure grants and the National Health Grant, which is an internet grant, on the health side. So if you look at the first slide, in terms of the overall expenditure on Schedule 4 and 5 grants, this is the picture that we have that we had in the first quarter. What you're looking for, normally, in terms of expenditure benchmarking, we look at around 35% at the end of the third quarter. But that is generally for all grants, mostly for the more established grants, but not necessarily for infrastructure as such, because those can tend to be different in terms of the expenditure and when it is made. But then, as a general rule, we look for around 75%. So if you look at the presentation that's up there, you'll see that most provinces are seen to be near or about the, but we have certain provinces where the understanding is a low and can be approved. For example, in the Eastern Cape, Gauteng and Limpopo, these three provinces are below 70%. So obviously this is the overall picture, so it's all Schedule 4 effect grant, which is around 30 grants that we have in the system currently. So just to explain it out quickly, what we have here in the blue bar is the provincial relief. That's the actual amount of money that was transferred to provinces. The red bar indicates part of that transfer, how much was spent. And the green line that we have there is the percentage of total budget spent. So you'll see that starting from Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and the Limpopo, you have the three dips there. And that represents the basic guided performance of the flow expenditure that I was talking about. So another thing that we should point out is that if you look at the receipts minus what was spent, in other words, how much was transferred to provinces versus how much was spent, 66 billion rand were transferred to provinces at the end of December, the process only managed to spend 62 billion rand. So there's a difference of 3.5 billion rand that was unspent, basically sitting within two bank accounts, unspent. But as we go along, I'll give you more detail in terms of which grants are underperforming and which grants is in a difference in terms of underspending and underperforming. So what I did, as I said earlier, we have about 20 grants in systems. So what I did, I just put the summary of each sector. So if you want more information in terms of actual grants, for example, I can come here, three grants in. I just put the whole group of three grants in. If you need the information, I can provide that. But just to give you an overall picture, in the agricultural sector, we've got three grants, the CAP grants, the Conservation Agricultural Support Grant. We've got the Lima Legima grant and the Land Aid grant. Now, that's the total release and expenditure for the whole three of those grants. Now, if you look at the spending performance thing, I mean, there seems to be a mixed bag of good performance and underperformance. For example, Carlton Cater and Bobo seem to be underperforming. If you look at the expenditure, that's actually quite low, 43% for Carlton. Cater has got 38%, and Bobo has just managed to get 50% of that. Then in mind that they should spend around 25% as a guide for this period of time. Now, if you look at which grants are causing that expenditure, it's basically CAP, the Conventional Agricultural Support Grant, which provides support to farmers, and the Lima Legima grant, which is a food security grant. Now, in these three processes, we find generally tends to point to supply chain issues. In the context, for example, they wanted a pool of security service providers, and because it's a new pool, the contract basically had to be renewed, and the ACM processes had to start fresh on that one day. But I think if you look at KZN and Limpopo, for example, they've been particularly badly affected by drought, and because of the drought, there's a lot of the functions that could not be carried out, that's why you think the poor expenditure of that. For example, one of the outputs of these grants is irrigation projects. So you can't have irrigation, you can't complete irrigation projects if you have the empty, and there's no rainfall. So those things were basically put on hold or it's been delayed somewhere. And if you look at as well, the government tractor fleet, which is responsible for plowing of fields, those things could not be operated because of the hardness of the ground and no moisture in the ground. So those are two grants that are causing family expenditure, and it's mainly affecting housing, because we're in the Tel and the Bobo. The other grant, Southern Cape, for example, is also low, but they seem to be recovering from after the period there. Other grants have one grant, the Community Library Services Grant, and this is, many objectives or outputs on this grant. For example, learning libraries, refurbishing of libraries, the buying of textbooks, your IT services for visually impaired and those other things. So what we found is, generally, this grant, I mean, the performance has been not too bad, but certain problems that there have been. If you look at Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Limpopo again, where the performance has been poor. And it's mostly attributed to the poor performance on the building of libraries. Last year, we had a rollover of 62 million rand that we grant to provinces because it mostly was related to infrastructure. So they had to basically hold the money over to 2016. And they see the problems with infrastructure and building libraries seems to be assisting many provinces. And because the library is not being put on time, obviously you can't buy furniture for the library, and the library books also can't be procured. All those things are being, there's no quality effect on those outputs as well. Education has five grants in the 2015-16 financial year, but not all the grants are performing poorly. If you look at, if I go to the grants, so it's basically the education infrastructure grant, which is basically for building a school and refurbishing, renovation of schools and maintenance and that sort of thing, and that's really poor performance. But it's not all the provinces. It's mostly an Eastern Cape where they're experiencing the problem. And members would be aware that towards the end of January, February, National Treasury issued out a gazette where we basically stopped 530 million from Eastern Cape on that particular grant and it was delegated to four other provinces because of the poor performance on the ground. And then it was largely attributed to senior management posts not being filled in the province. And as a result, the planning was delayed and implementation was not carried out on the ground there. Maybe you'll provide more information in terms of infrastructure part of that one day. The other grant that's performing poorly is the Mass Transit Technology Grant. And here we have five provinces that have spent less than 50% on the grant. The Eastern Cape again, PG State, KS, and Limpopo, and the Northwest Department of Education. What we found here is that in most of these grants, they don't have dedicated grant management or grant manager or people dedicated to the grant. And as a result of that, the output on the ground tend to underperform. What we found is that some provinces, the provincial department of education will appoint a curriculum advisor. Now this person is a curriculum advisor, skill responsibility is content, study content. And then that person will run the Mathematics and Technology Grant, which talks about buying lab kits, buying lathes, the woodworking machines, and those sort of things. So as a result of that, we have delays in the procurement process because these people don't really understand the procurement process and also in terms of the technical subjects, what are the equipment that's needed in these schools. There's a lot of delays in presenting invoices in the case of Free Day, and also changes were made to the specifications for technical subjects, tools, machinery, and all the things need to be revised. The national department needed to basically work on that for the provincial department. But as I said, the provincial department has curriculum advisors running these grants, and they should have had associated qualified people running these grants. So those are the two grants that I think is a problem on education. But as I said, if you want more information, I can provide on each and every grant. The other three grants. On health, health is actually not bad. In terms of the overall expenditure, if you look at it, most provinces have spent at least 65% of the grant. The only exception there is Limpopo, which is lagging slightly. And the reason they're lagging here is because of the health revitalization grant, which is basically an infrastructure grant, so maybe you'll give us more information on that one. So that's where the problem is. It seems to be a problem that's persistent because last year, we granted a roll of 154 million francs on this particular grant. And I suppose because of the roll of the grant is this year, it looked like there might be outstanding this year as well. We're not 100% sure because we haven't got the final numbers, but it seems to be an issue there for the Limpopo. The other grant that I think might be an issue is the National Health Insurance Grant. Now it's a small grant, it only makes up 72 million francs. Out of a budget of around 30 billion rand for health. But it's an important grant because it lays the groundwork for the National Health Insurance. Now, what we found here is that across the board, there's overall spending of around 53% on this grant. As I said earlier, it should be at least about 50-55% on this grant. So it's actually quite poor. And the key issues here, again, is the supply chain management, not being delayed with supply chain management. Because the grant is based in the 10 districts in the 9 provinces, there seems to be an issue with delegation in terms of how much can the district procure. And there's a limit of that of 200,000 rand. So if there's anything above that, the district basically has to go to the province and get approval for that. And that seems to be causing an issue in terms of the grant. But because of the poor performance of the grant, and the little evidence of impact, the grant will be closed out in 2016-17, this is the last year, and it will be incorporated into the National Health Grant and a component in that grant. So the National Department will be administering that as an indirect from 2017-18. The Human Settlements Grant, this is just one grant from a provincial perspective, the Human Settlements Development Grant. Spending has been poor in just two provinces, I think. It's just Gauteng and Limpopo that's experiencing problems over there. In Gauteng, members would remember that we also issued a gazette there on that grant. I think January, February somewhere, where we stopped 900 million friends from that province and reallocated it to other provinces that were performing better. The Department of Interior in Housing was engaged during the financial year, I think from July to about October somewhere, or even later, in terms of what they can really improve performance of grants. But obviously, National Department as well as National Treasury was not satisfied with the plans that they put forward. We felt that given the amount of projects that was planned, the department was clearly not ready to implement those projects. That's why out of a budget of about for Gauteng, out of a budget of 4.9 billion rand, 900 million rand was talked to. It was linked to Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Northern Cape and Northwest. Yes. But it wasn't split evenly. It was based according to the needs in those provinces, and those provinces had to also prove that they will be able to spend the money at the end of the day. The Bopo started the planning process late as well, in terms of this particular grant, and they also had a rollover of 300 million coming from the previous financial year that they needed to spend. So the Bopo has been having previous issues in terms of implementing on this grant over here. And if you look at the expenditure at the end of February, for example, the spending is at 60%. So it's very likely that they might be underspending at the end of the financial year for the Bopo, especially on a particular grant. The EPWP grant, there's two grants that we have here, the Integrated Grant, EPW Integrated, and the EPWP Social Sector Grant. Now, we found that generally the new grants perform well. If you look at some grants that we spent in the 90s, some in the 70s, with the exception of KwaZulu-Natal, which spent 44.2%. But when I looked at the numbers, it seemed there was a capturing error in terms of the spending that they reflected for the social sector grants. So actually, the number is much higher than what it was there, but we have to present these numbers because this is what we published in January. Okay, so we don't think there's a problem in this grant in terms of expenditure. We think the departments are doing fine over here, and we don't see any problems there. The social development grant, we have one grant here, and it's the Substance Abuse Treatment Center grant. Now, this grant was primarily established to ban and build substance abuse treatment centers in those four provinces. So it's only Eastern Cape, East State, Northern Cape, and Northwest that I entered. It started last year, and the first year was mainly for the planning, and the second and third year was for subsequent implementing and building of those treatment centers. But as you can see, the expenditure has been poor in the second year as well. And this has to do with the planning issues that sort of spilled over to the financial year from last year, because this is a new grant it was a new grant to the department. Who are clearly not very familiar with building with infrastructure issues, so they had to get advice, and also a lot of them are procuring the infrastructure from the Department of Public Works, and they have to manage that relationship that they have with Public Works as well. So if you look at there are some days for Public Works and implementation of that as well. Spending has improved, but not substantially. So what we expect here is there will be underspending here as well. But the National Department has given us assurance that the funds are committed, so it most likely will be rolled over to next financial year until the planning issues are sorted out and the library and the centers can be built over there. In terms of the sports and recreation sector, we have one grant, the Mass Sport Participation Grant. Generally, overall good performance, except for Free State and Gauteng. In Free State, the targets were met. If we look at the non-financial data, we find that the targets have been met. So it's most likely here that the expenditure has been lagging because invoices need to be captured and put into the system. There have been some instances where the invoices have been delivered late as well, so the department doesn't have to capture it onto the system. But the National Department has given us assurance that they are monitoring the situation, especially on that province, and they expect that the performance will improve from there. Gauteng, There have been volunteers, but yeah, mostly on the training of volunteers, that does not happen. And also schools were supposed to be provided with equipment and attire for sports course. They were not provided. There were some delays in the procurement of those two items over there. So other than that, I think sports is fine. They should be okay for next for the financial year. The transport grant, here we have two grants. We have the provincial road maintenance grant and the public transport operations grant. So here, farmers generally are good, except for KZN and Northwest, if I have to pick up to the grants, because in terms of the expenditure percentage there. And it's not on the operations grant, it's more on the provincial road maintenance grant. Lindsay will cover more on that in terms of the performance of Hotel and Northwest in terms of their performance. But just one thing to remember is that Northwest Treasury has put the Provincial Roads Department and the Section 18 administration because of their poor performance. So because of that, project has to be reviewed, and that put a delay in terms of the rollout of the project for 15-16. Chairperson, in terms of the Schedule 7 grant, the Schedule 7 grant, as you're aware, is the immediate disaster relief grant. So that's for, if a property experiences disaster, it's to provide for the immediate needs, such as water, food, shelter, and those sort of things. We didn't have anything up to the third quarter. We had one for Gauteng in the fourth quarter. So we haven't received the extension numbers yet. The allegation was only gazetted in March 2016, so we haven't got the information. But the amount allocated for that was 35.6 million, and it was allocated to the Human Settlements Department, 21 million rand, and education, 14 million rand, to provide for that immediate relief. Thank you, Chairperson. If I can hand over to my colleague.
Thank you, Chair. In relation to the infrastructure grants, so Emmanuel, I think, has spoken broadly what's happening across the sector. We focused on this section essentially on the big infrastructure grants that go to provinces. Also, maybe just to mention, I think as Emmanuel was saying, even though we like to target a benchmark of 75% for the third quarter, given the nature of infrastructure, which can be lumpy sometimes, the expenditure patterns sometimes don't conform to that benchmark. And also given how the delivery chain works in most provinces, where implementing agents implement on behalf of departments also sometimes means the expenditure reflected is not a true reflection because commitments are sometimes put up in implementing agents that are not reflected until the end of the financial year. So it could be worthwhile in relation to these grants to again look at the fourth quarter expenditure, which becomes available later this month. So to start with the education infrastructure grant, again, most provinces have performed that well, apart from the Eastern Cape. And I think Emmanuel has touched on some of the issues there. The big issue is, again, implementing agents who have supported the department, which is IDT, the Department of Public Works, and CUCA. Issues in relation to their supply chain management processes resulted in delays for the appointment of professional service providers and contractors, causing that under expenditure. As Emmanuel said, we have issued a gazette to stop and reallocate to 530 million from that province to Gauteng, Limpopo, and Western Cape. So the larger portion goes to Gauteng to deal with essentially backlogs in terms of learner spaces. There was also issues in Limpopo because of disasters which affected some of the schools. So you could already see at the end of the third quarter there that they had overcommitted to try and deal with disasters in anticipation of reallocation. And then lastly to Western Cape. The big infrastructure grant for the health sector is the Health Facility Revitalization Grant. And there again, most provinces have performed quite well, if you look at the expenditure patterns at the end of the third quarter. The two concerns, I suppose, is the Western Cape and Mpumalanga. The Mpumalanga case is a bit peculiar in the sense that they had embarked on a large project which essentially they had anticipated overcommitted in the project. As a result of that overcommitment, they had to slow down expenditure on other projects. So that ripple effect affected the expenditure performance. However, again, as I was mentioning, because there are already commitments built up in the system, that expenditure performance could improve by the end of the fourth quarter. The one concern is the Western Cape, and in the Western Cape, the issues are essentially between the implementing agent and the department again in relation to supply chain issues, where the Department of Public Works implements projects on behalf of Western Cape Health Department. In terms of the provincial roads maintenance grant, again, most provinces have performed quite well. These are in line with benchmark or slightly above. So the primary focus of this grant is essentially roads maintenance. KZN is the one province where there was concerns. In KZN, a large portion of these projects are implemented using labor-intensive methods, so essentially using EPWP type technique. They've been very successful in the past as to how they implement that grant. There have been concerns in this year about that approach to EPWP, and I suppose it's also reflected on the earlier numbers for EPWP in terms of how they renew those contracts, which has resulted in delays in terms of expenditure. So just some general challenges that have affected the infrastructure grants. In most cases, poor planning issues and budget management. So the issue of how commitments are built up within implementing agents before those are essentially reflected as expenditure. So there's a chain of approvals between the implementing agent and line departments you find their signs of that have contributed to expenditure performance. Delays in terms of supply chain processes, again in terms of third parties. So issues like COCA in the Eastern Cape or Public Works Department or IDT departments are an issue. What we've also noticed is in terms of their procurement process, the Construction Industry Development Board, CIDB, provides a grading system for the appointment of contractors. In some cases, departments don't comply to that grading in relation to the value of work for which they appoint contractors, which result in delays in terms of performance. So we can provide a more detailed breakdown of those types of projects if you need. Capacity within line departments is also mixed. And implementing agents, we've spoken about that as well. Site management issues, so we conducted site visits last year. We defined poor site management, and it links back to the contractor issue, having the incorrect contractors in relation to grading. And then the reporting. So how invoices, again, are captured in terms of expenditure is an issue. We've tried to support departments, this next slide, working with both national departments, National Department of Basic Education and National Department of Health, by developing what we call a human resource capacitation strategy for those sectors. Funding is also available in the respective conditional grants to the value of about 30 million, which is ring-fenced for capacity. So some provinces have moved quite quickly in relation to filling posts with the correct professionals, and some haven't. So that also reflects the expense performance. We do get quarterly reports from that, which we assess and verify. Provinces that are lagging behind, Limpopo and Mpumalanga Northwest, and we can also include Free State, that have, through the intervention of national departments, requested what we call a centralized recruitment process, where essentially the national department supports the provincial department to recruit the right skills, and that's been successful in Limpopo and Mpumalanga. Free State is about to undergo such a process. We also intend to conduct an independent review in this coming financial year on why departments have not complied in certain cases with that strategy because funding is available. Lastly, maybe just in terms of the indirect grant, Mark, are you going to briefly talk to those? So that's the grant managed by the National Department of Health?
Thank you, Jeff. My name is Mark Fletcher. I'm Chief Director of Health and Business Development. So although the spending looked from the low side here, it's actually quite a substantial improvement from the previous year. The National Health Insurance grant has spent 65% or components of the grant by December and will be pretty much fully spent by the end of the year. This is partly because the contracting of the general practitioners has been mainly outsourced to an independent body called FPG, who's been quite good in bringing in the GPs. So there's been quite a bit of progress in spending on the indirect grants, and also the number of GPs that contracted us has doubled this year compared to last year. The rebuy grant, the spending is actually also come up a lot since the previous year, although it's still at this point below target at 60.9%. By the end of the year, it will be fully spent, in fact, overspent. There is some capacity improvement, but the department is massively contracting. They're actually overcommitting. They're doing a huge range of different projects. I think they're doing too many types of different projects from the national department because they get involved in a lot of provincial space and get involved in all different types of projects. But certainly the spending is coming up a lot, and that component will be fully spent by the end of the year. The HPG spending was still quite low at the stage of the year, 34%, but there was quite a big vaccine campaign out to schools in the last quarter. So there'll be a bit of underspending on this grant, but maybe about 20 million, but most of the grant will be spent by the end of the year. So generally, a lot of improvement in this indirect grant. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Treasury, for the presentation, members. Does the presentation on the performance of conditional grants, provinces that are flagged as not having that the performance requires attention, and all number of areas that are reflected here, because that may contribute to poor performance, issues relating to contracting industry development board rankings, and so forth. So, members, you are welcome to can engage in the report. All the hands I recognize honorable members, starting with honorable Terry Blanche.
Thank you, Chief. This is referring to the infrastructure carrying. And you know, once again, indication are that you know both my department and probably work in most instances are happy to get the work done.
Treasury, are you comfortable? I'm not hostile, yeah, you can be uncertain.
You know, that is not really a question, you know. I'm just thinking about this issue. I mean, this has been going on for, you know, ages now. And you know, the one thing that I would suggest is, you know, maybe Treasury can indicate to us or maybe think about it. How can we change this phenomenon around? You know, public works is a problem forever and a day, as far as I'm concerned. And really, I think we need to get around that. This is just an observation, Chairperson. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My man has two issues that I would want clarity on. The first one that confuses me most, and pardon my ignorance, I'm not surprised. Security, national issues, very serious. The receipts that are more than the spending, I don't understand. And where vice versa. The other I understand, where there is more spending and less receipts. But where there is more receipts and less expenditure, I'm a little bit confused about it, if I can be clarified. The second part of it is the The second issue is with regard to your slide on transport and roads. The road infrastructure in the Northwest is quite bad. And when it is reflected there that the Northwest and KZN, at least for KZN, you were able to escape the model that they followed, the PWP model. And with the Northwest, you give no reasons as to why they are understanding with the type of roads that we have at the moment. If I could be clarified on that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Mr. Shukin. Honorable Mwande, you want to raise something?
Just a point of thought. I know that in the briefing that we've had with Treasure, the province is raising a constant issue on there's a gap between who should monitor if they can't, I mean in the indirect grant arrangement, where they see that they have no handle on them because they're generally national. I guess as a committee at some point we might have to go and have a meet with the portfolio committee. But the question would be then, Chair, that in that person, then we get an indication that the treasury, provincial and national, they do meet quite often. So the question then remains, Chair, whether these matters are in their own expressions here, is that they think that things will be improved, but you know they have improved. The most of the some of the grants would be even overspent and that kind of thing. It sounded like a lot of strategic issues that I mean more technical between them and their colleagues at province to get that part, because that will explain, you know, the type of initiative of intervention that as a committee we need to do with our colleagues at provinces. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Zimande. Honorable Muhara.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to National Treasury for the information. I think I just have a few points. The first is I want to get a sense from National Treasury whether they've looked into the varying implementing mechanisms used by the different provinces, because that does seem to hamper how one province performs as opposed to another, especially with infrastructure spending, because in some instances it's public works that act as an implementing agency, other times it's external or implementing agency set up to do the implementation. And how does that affect what we see as the spending on the grants. The other is if National Treasury has done that, or if not, maybe it's an unfair question to National Treasury then, but I think it would be important for the committee to ascertain how the implementing agencies or the departments work in collaboration with the provincial departments of local government or COGDA. Because some of the challenges around infrastructure spending is related to municipality responsibilities. So for instance, services, or where the municipality is responsible for zoning land for whatever purpose. If municipality has not done that, it's not in their IDPs, et cetera, that then stops or hampers provincial departments from spending. And if you don't get through that or develop a concrete mechanism of working with municipalities, that infrastructure then is not going to change, because I mean you can't spend if the municipality is not ready. The second is, for me it seems almost as if National Treasury is taking over the Department of MNE's responsibilities. And I think at some point the committee must call in, I don't know whether it's monitoring and evaluation or even COGDA, to be able to ascertain how far or how responsible they are for what is supposed to be happening. Because, I mean, an issue that National Treasury raises is reporting. Reporting is part of the MNE process. Yes, it's part of the National Treasury process. But how far is the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation taking into account what they are supposed to do as far as their responsibility goes? I think I'm saying that implement agencies versus departments, where there are varying mechanisms used by provinces. It may not be necessarily true, or it may not necessarily be the case that one size fits all. But definitely there are mitigating factors as to why certain things need to change in certain provinces. And I think National Treasury needs to really look into it and maybe provide, whether it's guidelines or institute a process that can correct some of the measures. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutara. Honorable Chal.
Chair President, thank you for the related presentation. In the Division of Revenue, you find the schedules. The schedule is actually the mechanism with the tick box. You could add another column on the page to monitor the spending. And I'm very worried. We will have to call these departments that's underperforming in the provinces, like we did in the fourth parliament. Secondly, this presentation must be read with the analysis done by the research unit on the ground, where the grants are unpacked, specifically land care, community library services, health, the province. What happened to the province? That's what we want to see. And to go a step further, Chairperson, to go 2 or 3 years back to get the trend. But how did this province perform? Is there improvement on spending? Is there stagnation or is there a regression? Let me get the real picture. Let me get the real picture. The other point is, Chair, we will have to call the Chief Procurement Officer as well, Mr. Kenneth Brown, to come and do a presentation to this committee. And lastly, Chair, if you look at the challenges on slide 16 and 17, this is repeating itself year after year. Poor planning, budget management, inadequate capacity, poor site management, inconsistent reports, challenges with late submissions from provinces. There's a timetable when you have to submit what? When someone is not doing his or her work. Did not comply to their fine, blah, blah, blah. So it goes on. While government is spending millions and millions of rands on workshops to capacitate and to assist our officials and departments, this comes up year after year after year. If you read the annual reports of departments, and that remarks by the Auditor General. Chairman, the West Committee of Probation has a serious, serious responsibility. Mm-hmm. That in our oversight, we as members of Parliament start changing this thing around, putting pressure on these departments to come and perform better. I'm going to stop there. We are meeting with the provincial treasuries in May, all 9 provincial treasuries. We must keep this in our minds, even bring these documentation with to those meetings and take the treasuries on. What are their mechanisms in monitoring and evaluation? That's important to us. was in a report what happened in the previous briefing, August 2015. We're going to get to that, our resolution. So that was my remarks, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks,
Honorable
Sir. Honorable
Sir. President, thank you for the opportunity. Sorry I came in a little late on the questions. There was this, there's two things I want to raise. The one is the slide, slide 9. Perhaps I missed it in the presentation, but if you could just reiterate the mind-boggling scenario regarding the Northwest. I'm just finding it difficult to somewhat digest exactly what you said. Because if I look at the numbers and I look at the graph, I don't know whether it's an election campaign strategy or what is it exactly. But perhaps you could just comment very strongly on the Northwest on slide 9. And then I just want to quickly, Chairperson, with respect to on page 17 of the presentation, human resource capacitation, and alluding to what Honorable De Beer just mentioned, if you look at bullet number 4, when exactly is this HR review scheduled for? Because quarter one is, in my opinion, already gone. Quarter one is still there, 2016-17 financial year, sorry, apologize. But more or less, when is that scheduled for? And then I'd like to hear your comments. If the Department of Health and Education have not complied with the conditions in terms of the durable, what is exactly the result or the scenario or the repercussions? And I think it's best if we set those terms now so that when you come back here, we know how to contend with these issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jisa. Just before you respond, National Treasury, I just want to indicate that our engagement today, members, normally we consider the report presented by National Treasury and then prepare a report for the House and discuss the report in the House. But I want to comment, I think, that there are specific provinces that are highlighted as performing below expected level. So those provinces that must be convened by the committee maybe to discuss, to use National Treasury presentation to further engage with the provinces in terms of their performance. So that specifically we deal with some of the issues that relate to like overall poor performance on conditional grants. And even continue to look even into the what is it, whatever it may be, whether they are complaints or whatever issues, normally members will recall. Budget office also does give us this view together with our own research unit in the overall assessment of the conditional grant performance. So we view this as important. The provinces have performed below par. They must be convened to the committee to account why provinces have. So if we say KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Gauteng, Free State, of course we must confirm here which provinces that we say, National Treasury say province that has performed below par, that the committee to its rigorous oversight and accountability must convene to provinces and have a comprehensive report to the House when we discuss such a report in the House. Okay, thanks. I allow you to respond. We don't have much time today. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll share our responses. I just want to start with the one on social development, the substance use treatment grants, center grants. The budget for Northwest is not 12 million, it's actually 13 million. 18 million rand with a rollover from last year of 1 million rand. So what happened here was the prompts was implementing on this project, and it spent money. So the arrangement that the national department and the provinces is, you spend your money and you submit, you implement, and you get your invoice and you submit it to the national department who verifies the invoices and then transfers the money. In most cases, these invoices have gone late to the department, and it wasn't verified fully. So what happened was the province went ahead and paid the money. Remember, they have a budget of 18 million rand, so they spent 12 million of that.
So as the invoice is approved by National Department of Social Development, they will transfer the money and money will reflect as receipts over there. So that's why we have the discrepancy of them spending more money than they have. In all probability, they must have used the equitable share money to spend on that. And once the conditional grant transferred to the province, then they generalize the money out of the account in the account. The one remark by Honorable Beer on the presentation, we note his comments and his input on that one day, especially the one on the trends that we should reflect on performance going back and see our department really improving or not. We note that for future presentations. But as I said, we also have more information available. If the committee wants information, we can make it available in terms of detailed spending by province, by grant. We have this information available. In terms of the first question we had is receipts more than the spending. Receipts are actually transferred to provinces based on an approved payment schedule that is approved by National Treasury. So what happens at the beginning of the year, once the conditional grants are all approved by the National Department, they send through a proposed payment schedule for amounts to be transferred to provinces. Now this is based on business plans the department supports, the National Department. So for example, on the school nutrition program, Eastern Cape, for example, will say we need so much money on the 1st of April, for April, May and June. So that's what we put into the payment schedule. Now it happens that as we went through the presentation, I indicated areas of poor performance. So what happened was we transferred the money to the province as per the business plan, but because of the challenges experienced in provinces, they were not able to spend the money. That's why we've seen the receipts substantially more than what the spending is. Especially if you look at the overall picture, there's 3.5 billion rand that's not spent, but it was transferred to provinces. So it was transferred in terms of the payment schedule, but obviously because of the poor performance, the spending couldn't happen on that one day. In rare instances where the spending is more than the receipts, and one of the examples is social development one, and as I indicated here, sometimes the departments, for example, will find some efficiency in their business plan and they're able to spend more. In that instance, they use their own funds to spend, and when the equitable share, when the conditional grant funds are transferred to the province, then they generalize those funds out of there. I'll hand over to Lindsay for the introduction.
Thank you, Chair members. Thanks for the comments, members. Maybe just as a comment to start off with, in terms of looking at the overall performance, also to note that this is the third quarter data. So there is an additional quarter in terms of available for provinces to improve their expenditure performance in certain cases. So again, especially on the infrastructure side, where we know departments have built up commitments but have not invoiced that expenditure. So it can show improvement in terms of the expenditure performance. So there may be some value if there are follow-up meetings proposed is to use the end year or the fourth quarter data. This will give you a better picture of who's underperforming and who has essentially improved performance in the last quarter. In terms of some of the questions, so the Northwest on the roads, provincial roads maintenance issues, I think Emmanuel also mentioned the Northwest Roads Department is under administration, Section 18, from the Provincial Treasury because of poor financial management. So I suspect that has impacted on the spending performance in the province, hence reflected as part of that grant. The issue on guidelines for implementing agents and dealing with the delivery chain in relation to infrastructure is something that we are working on with the Chief Procurement Office. So the Chief Procurement Office, I think in November, did issue an instruction note for what they call the Standard for Infrastructure Procurement and Delivery Management. That standard sets out the minimum requirements in terms of the delivery process, as well as the minimum requirements for capacity in relation to implementing agents and partners. That only becomes effective post-July 2017. So that will set the minimum requirements, for example. If you want to be an implementing agent on behalf of a government department, in most cases it's other public entities, there's certain minimum requirements that you must adhere to, and hopefully that will deal with some of the performance issues. It also sets out the minimum requirements in relation to how do you go about undertaking infrastructure procurement if you want to be an implementing agent. So we can also share that with members. And if the OCPO is going to do a follow-up, we can accompany them as well. The issue in relation to dealing with reporting between ourselves and DPME, so there is a separation in terms of functions. So in relation to financial reporting, National Treasury is responsible for that. A few years back, National Treasury was also responsible for performance reporting, but that function moved to DPME. So to be able to determine essentially what outputs and outcomes government is achieving is where DPME comes in. But you need to be able to see what value are you getting from the expenditure forms. So there is a link between the two. The issue on the independent review as part as per the HR capacitation, so the review will be conducted in June. That will visit all provincial health and education departments as part of that review, verifying documentation. The report will be available in the second quarter of the 2016-17 financial year, which we can also share with members. Part of the recommendations that the independent review will make is how do we proceed with the capacitation approach, depending on what the issues are. Because funding is available in the conditional grant, so it is conditional. So depending on the nature of the problem, there could be different types of recommendations coming out from the independent review. Again, we'd be happy to share those. I think I've dealt with most of the issues. Yeah, so the implementing mechanisms also is part of the documentation in terms of the standard, as I was saying. So the standard for infrastructure procurement and delivery management provides you with five different delivery models in line with standard forms of contract which have been endorsed by National Treasury. So it's part of that instruction route, which again we can also share the details on that.
You're done?
Yes.
Okay, no, thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we'll use the information, thanks National Treasury's representation, we'll use the information in our ongoing work with provinces and with sector departments to prove further in terms of performance with regard to conditional grants. And this information is useful as well as a tool for members on their normal constituency work to use this information to solicit further information regarding the performance on these important areas of work. Now, the Secretariat will advise on the appropriate date where we will convene other provinces where we deal specifically with areas of non-performance and non-compliance in some instances to the contribution of revenue. This is a guide. So we thank you very much, and we will use all available instruments, both our research information as we continue to receive the research, continuous research work on the performance of conditional grants, and we'll process the recommendations that are made by members that will enrich our work moving forward. Thanks. Thank you very much. I'm over.